Lord, this morning we thank you for your word. The word that tells us to remember. Remember all that Jesus did for us. Help us, Lord, to cherish all these things in our hearts so they can help us to live the Christian life, to live our lives for the glory of you. We thank you, Lord, for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before this morning's service and our children's story, with the exception of a few over here, how many of you would have been able to tell me that last Thursday was the time when the church, Big C, celebrated the ascension of Jesus into heaven? There's a few, yeah. You know, we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and of course, Easter. But very seldom do we celebrate the ascension of Jesus. And part of that problem is probably because of me, because I usually don't preach according to the lectionary or to the church calendar outside of Christmas and Easter. And to be honest with you, I can't even remember hearing a sermon on the ascension of Jesus myself. But I think that it is important for us to think about this special event, not just because of what the ascension means for us today, but also because today we remember Jesus in a very special way as we join together in communion. After Jesus was raised from the dead, we are told in the scriptures that Jesus appeared to his disciples and to many others over a period of 40 days. He left no doubt, and he left many witnesses who could prove that he was alive and still teaching people about the kingdom of God. After these 40 days, Jesus gave his disciples some last-minute instructions about waiting for the Holy Spirit and being witnesses for him. And then immediately, he was taken up to heaven. Sometimes, as I said, we overlook the ascension of Jesus. Maybe we don't think it's all that important in the light of Christmas and Easter. But that's not the way the disciples and the early Christians saw it. Jesus returning to heaven wasn't just an important event. It was a huge turning point in their lives. It was a time when Jesus and the disciples said goodbye, really for the second time. The first time was when Jesus died upon the cross. And some of the Lord's disciples thought that it was all over. And here again, those early Christians had to say goodbye once more. We weren't there that day when Jesus was taken up before their very eyes. But all of us know the emotions of saying goodbye. Now, there are times when goodbyes are good. Like the time when guests overstay their welcome and we hope the door doesn't hit them on the way out the door. But there are other goodbyes that are very hard for us indeed. There are times when we have had to say goodbye to loved ones and friends who have been taken by the Lord, and we're left here on earth until we see them again. And there are times when our loved ones and friends live far away from us, and we won't see them for a long time, and saying goodbye can be a difficult time. At times like that, we usually promise to keep in touch, and we say that we're looking forward to seeing them again. Many times we can do that with tears in our eyes and sorrow within our hearts. And then what we usually do when they are gone is we usually go over in our minds all those memories and experiences that we have shared with them. And then we think about how we can meet with them again. I'm sure that is the way that it was with the disciples that day. And I believe that it is something that we need to think about today. When they and Jesus said goodbye, and Jesus ascended up to heaven, the disciples would have recalled everything that Jesus accomplished while he walked upon this earth. They would have heard his instruction to keep in touch, and they would have remembered his plans to see us again. Our passage this morning comes from the first chapter of the book of Acts, usually called the Acts of the Apostles, but you know what? The reality is it should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because it was the Holy Spirit who worked through these believers. And it is in the book of Acts where we see the effects of our Lord's resurrection on this New Testament church. We see how some timid followers of Jesus became totally committed evangelists for him. And we read how the good news about Jesus spread all throughout the Roman Empire, through the disciples and through evangelists like St. Paul, the apostle. God's word was brought to a great number of people. But all of that success can be traced right back to these verses that we are looking at today. Because when Jesus said goodbye to his disciples, he promised and he predicted it all. When Luke, the human author of Acts, put pen to paper, he remembered what Jesus had done. In verses 1 to 3, we read, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about what Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these people and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." Before Jesus said his goodbye and returned to the seat of glory at the Father's right hand, Jesus recalled all that he had accomplished. He gave his disciples many convincing proofs that he was indeed alive. And remember that his being alive was the very proof that he had done everything that was necessary for salvation. It proved the fact that death had no hold over him. It showed that the curse of sin had been broken and that Satan's power had been crushed. Sometimes the disciples were a little slow to believe and understand these things. So Jesus spent 40 days reviewing the purpose of his coming to earth. But someone might say that hearing Jesus say goodbye to his disciples can't have the same impact on us as it did to them. After all, we don't get to hear him speak directly about the kingdom of God. We aren't able to see all those convincing proofs that he is alive. Let's not be too hasty. We have the written record of what Jesus accomplished, and that is more than what the disciples had when Jesus said goodbye to them. By opening God's word, printed in our own language, we can read about all those convincing proofs that Jesus offered to establish the fact that he paid the price for our sins. And we should all know that fact right within our hearts. So as you and I recall Jesus' ascension today, it is important for us to remember and join together in looking back on what Jesus has done, especially as we partake in communion this morning. One of the things that we should remember is that Jesus accomplished the very task that he was sent to do. As you know, if a person's job isn't finished properly, they're usually sent back to do it until the job is done. If your boss sends you back to do a job and you come back and you haven't done it, he or she will send you right back until it's accomplished and done right. Or they may get someone else to do the job and you'll be looking for a new one. If you ask one of your children to go and mow the lawn, you expect it all to be done, not just part of it. If the job's not done, you will usually send them right back out there until the job is finished. But the work of Jesus, it was accomplished 100%. And his ascension to heaven proved it all. He had fulfilled the will of the Father completely. The Father didn't have to send Jesus back to Bethlehem to start over, or back to Nazareth to finish things up, or back to the cross to complete the work of dying as our substitute. Jesus finished everything exactly as it needed to be done. The Apostle Paul makes this connection when he wrote in Ephesians 4, 7 to 10. He has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. This means that Christ also descended to our lowly world And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Maybe it is just me, but when I say goodbye to someone, I always want to try and recall some of the things that we did during our time together. And to a certain extent, we see something like that in Jesus' goodbye to his disciples. Before he ascended into heaven, Jesus, as I said, recalled what he'd accomplished with his visit and how he had done it all for them. And today, as we hear Jesus say goodbye, it's important for us also to recall everything that Jesus has done for us. Many times when we say goodbye, we make all kinds of promises to keep in touch. I do this all the time when my sister from Scotland leaves to go back home. And then I am reminded time and time and time again that I don't. Perhaps some of you are like that as well. You may say, I'll try to call more often. I'll keep in touch. I'll send you an email. You know, life gets busy. We cherish our friends and we cherish our loved ones within our hearts. But we don't always keep in touch the way we said we would. I'm getting a little bit better in my older age. But when I was young, I failed miserably in making an effort to stay in touch. And it is usually the other person, in my experience anyway, who would get in touch with me. Maybe some people here can relate. But you know what? It's the same with Jesus. He knows how we work. He knows that we cherish him within our hearts. But sometimes we don't keep in touch the way we should. That's why when Jesus said the words of goodbye, they weren't just empty words. Verse 4 to 5 says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this commandment. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the greatest ways Jesus provided for us to stay in touch with him was the Holy Spirit. And just before his final goodbye, Jesus repeated his promise to stay in touch. Verse 7 and 8 says, so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. As the disciples carried out God's mission to the world, Jesus promised that he would give them the power that they needed. He said that he would send to them the Holy Spirit. And in that way, he promised to stay in touch with everybody who loves him. Then Luke tells us that right after he said this, he was taken up right before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. As we recall Jesus saying goodbye to his disciples and promising to be with them, we are compelled to ask ourselves if we are truly living in the power of those same promises. When Jesus said goodbye to his disciples, he spoke words that apply to each and every believer. We too are given the promise of the Holy Spirit. And when we hear the words of Jesus by the Spirit and by his word, he keeps his promise to stay in touch and to give us the power necessary to live our lives for his glory. But sometimes we don't use all that power. There's a story told of a family in the remote mountains of Tennessee who went to a great deal of trouble to have electrical power installed in their little shack. After the line was put in, the electrical company noticed that the family didn't use very much electricity at all. In fact, that meter hardly ever moved. So to find out what was going on, they sent a meter reader to check on the matter. The man came and he knocked upon the door. We've looked at your meter. Do you use your electricity? Oh, yes, they said. We turn it on every single night so that we can see well enough to light our kerosene lamps. And then we switch it off again. Isn't that the way we often apply the power of God in our own lives? He has so much to give, and sometimes we use so little. Then we go back to our old ways of living and helpless struggling. But the power of the ascension of Jesus offers us so much more. The Apostle Paul declared in Ephesians 1, 19 to 23, which were the words for our call to worship, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ. And he has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. That's you and me. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Those are very powerful words. Words that we should and need to take to our very heart. That the same power of the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive within us today. By the way, does anyone know what goodbye really means? Here's the answer section over here. I don't know who answered that, but it was really, you know, I'm going to find out. Does anyone know what goodbye means? Or where it came from? There we go, yeah. See, always have someone has an answer. It's actually going to have an interesting history. It is a contraction of the words, God be with you. So in earlier forms of our English language, people who said goodbye were really expressing the wish that the person they were leaving would be kept safe by God. So when we hear Jesus say goodbye to his disciples, we hear his wish that God would be with them. But since he is God, his promise was personal. Because he is the one who said, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. So as we hear Jesus say goodbye, may we take his promise to keep in touch with him seriously. And may we keep in touch with him every single day. I mentioned before that the last part of my goodbyes usually includes some sort of plan for the future when I can meet with that person again. And Luke's record of Jesus saying goodbye to his disciples includes Jesus' plans for a future visit with us. Because verse 10 to 11 says, they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking up, staring into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. You know, sometimes we can quickly pass over the words, he ascended into heaven. But when we say the Apostles' Creed together a little later in our service, let us never forget that our future is built upon Christ's ascension. That's because he went to heaven to prepare a place for us. And he will return from that same heaven to take us to be with him. Jesus said in John 14, 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Jesus ascended into heaven to prepare a place for us. We have a reservation in God's house. We will be welcome there forever. We will be free from pain, from sin, from disease forevermore. We will receive a glorified body like our ascended Lord's body. And we will never, ever have to say goodbye again. We are told that on the judgment day, that Jesus will return the same way that he left on the day of his ascension. And it won't be something that we can miss, because we are told that every single person in this world will see him come back. But there is even better news connected to Christ's ascension. He has plans for us to ascend with him in the rapture. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4, 17 and 18, "Those who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." Today, we remember when Jesus said goodbye. As I've said, there seems to be some predictable things that go along with saying goodbye to other people. We usually reminisce for a moment or two. We look back on the visit we had with a friend or a relative. Then we usually make promises to keep in touch. And finally, we usually make plans for the next visit. We see all of those things when Jesus said goodbye to his disciples just before the ascension. They recalled why he had visited them in the first place. He came to bring them salvation and to show them the way to heaven. Then Jesus promised to stay in touch by sending us the Holy Spirit. And finally, when Jesus said goodbye, the disciples were reminded of his plans to visit them again. So today, as we hear Jesus say goodbye in this passage, may we also recall his finished work, his promise to stay in touch with us, and his plans for a future visit. Therefore, with our heads up and our eyes wide open, let us wait for him to say hello and to never say goodbye again.